Okay, so we are in the top of Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the Mishnah, where we have this debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether you started a malacha, working with a kli, with some kind of utensil, with some kind of machine or something that would continue to do what it's supposed to do during Shabbos. You did all that you did, and you finished by the time sunset was Friday evening, but the process continued. So Beis Hillel said it's permitted, and Beis Shammai said it's not permitted because of what's called Shvisas Kelim, that not only do you have to rest, but also your Kelim have to rest. So we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the second word. Amar Shem Gamliel, no hagim hayu beis abba shenu nosim klei lavan lekoveis nachri shloshi yom kodem leShabbos. He said that Rav Shem Gamliel said that the house of Rav Gamliel would give flax garments to a non-Jewish launderer at least 3 days before Shabbos. Why would they do that? Because it would take them at least 3 days to clean, to launder. And if they bring it less than 3 days, then the non-Jew would be doing this on Shabbos. So the point is that even the Rav Gamliel was from the house of Rav Gamliel was from a descendant of Hillel, he still was stringent like Shammai. And the Mishnah concludes, V'shamin elu ve'elu shetonim es koras beis habad. So after you squeeze the olives, after you squeeze the olives, in an olive press, you leave a beam on them that more olive oil will get squeezed. So that apparently is okay. Ve'igule hagas. So I guess after, again, you would squeeze the grapes in a wine press, you're allowed to leave these pieces, round and heavy pieces of wood it's not functioning as a kli in a sense of like working something. It's just some heavy board on top of the grapes that would, through the course of Shabbos, that would squeeze out some wine. So even Beis Shammai would agree with that this would be allowed. So the Gemara says that Mantana Mayim Nisinas Mayim Lidyo Zohi Shriya. So who's the author of the Mishnah who says the Mishnah said, what if you put water mix it with ink, even though you didn't mix them together? So this is considered, the mixing is considered lisha. What's lisha? You take two substances and you put them together to form sort of a different substance, which is the melacha of lush. The classic case, let's say you have oatmeal, you have hot water, and you have oatmeal flakes. So you put them together. So first you put them together and then you mix them. So when you put them together and you mix them, so that is the melacha of lush, and kneading together. So similarly, when you're putting the water, mixing with this ink, so it also forms a substance. So who's the author who says that this is forbidden? Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Rebbe, so our Mishnah follows Rebbe. Detanya, echan nosin es hakemach, ve'echan nosin es hamayim, ha'achron chayv. One person puts flour, one person adds water. So the one who adds the water to the flour, so he's chayv because of lush. Even if he didn't mix it together, divi Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Reversi Rebbe Yehuda, omer, eino chayv achi gabel. You're only liable if you mix the flour together with the water. We hold halacha lemasa that even just combining the two substances is a Torah violation, but that's the machlokus. Is it simply combining, or is it only once you actually mix it together? So that's the machlokus of Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi. So in our Mishnah, which says that just combining the water and the ink is a violation of lush, this would follow the opinion of Rebbe, who would say just combining without mixing would be a Torah violation. Amalei Abaye, v'dilma kan lo kamar Rabbi Yossi ella bekemach de bar gibel hu aval diod la bar gibel hu ema lechayev. Maybe Rabbi Yossi, when he argues about flour, because flour and water, by definition, the way that you work the flour and water is you mix it together. That's the normal process of mixing the flour and the water. So therefore, the normal way to of lush is to mix it. So there, in that case, Rabbi Yossi would say you're not liable until you actually mix it together. But ink, which does not mix with any dough, but rather it just mixes with water. So maybe the normal way for that would be, the normal way is simply mixing it and not combining it. In other words, maybe only by flour and water you would require to actually mix it, but by ink and water, you would, maybe then Rav Yossi would agree that simply combining would be sufficient, and therefore Mishnah could be according to everyone. So the Gemara answered, Losoka Dayatech, now wouldn't enter your mind to say this, the Tayyik, because you're learning Braisech, and no sense of Afer, Vech, and no sense of Mayim, Achron Chayab, Dibra Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Omer, Ach Yigabel. So here we have a mixture of ash and water, and here we have this debate. Ash and water is not what's called a bar gibel. They're not naturally things that combine together because the parts do not stick to each other through water. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda says that putting water without just combining, without mixing, is considered lisha, considered the malacha of lisha, of kneading. So therefore, that he would similarly hold regarding water and the dyes, in our Mishnah, would also hold that all you would need to do, that he would say that you wouldn't be chayav, you wouldn't be liable because you're not mixing it. In other words, this Mishnah seems to suggest that the debate between Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe is not only with flour and water, but it's also with things that don't typically combine together, like ash and water, and the same thing would apply for ink and water as well. But the Gemara asks, V'dilma my efer afar de bar gibel hu, maybe when it says afer, it doesn't really mean afer is ash, maybe it means afar, which is dirt. So mixing dirt and water would be considered, naturally is considered a mixture. So it's not a proof. So he says, v'hatanya afer, v'hatanya afar. Yeah, but it says the afer, not afar. But the Gemara says, no, midi gabe hadari tanya. Sometimes the brises say afer, and sometimes they say afar. So therefore, you could argue that essentially our Mishnah is according to every single opinion. In other words, certainly in a case where you have flour and water, so there you have a debate whether you violate the Torah prohibition if you have to actually mix the water and the flour together to violate the Torah prohibition, or whether simply combining them violates the Torah prohibition. And this case as well, where you have this debate of afer and water, it might be afer and water, and that's similar to flour and water. But our Mishnah might be according to everyone. Maybe everyone agrees that mixing dyes and water, all you need to do is combine them and not mix them. Now the Gemara now brings a brisa regarding other malachos that you started them in Erev Shabbos and they finished by themselves on Shabbos. So Tana Rabbanan. So Rabbi is teaching a brisa. Poskim mayim legina erev Shabbos imchashicha v'umis males v'olechas kol yom kulo. You can make a ditch, a narrow ditch, to create like a channel of water from the edge of the stream to a garden in erev Shabbos close to nightfall. And what happens? The garden will get filled with the whole day with water because you create this water channel between the stream. Between a spring and the field. V'umanichim mugmar tachas hakelim. You can also place incense and other types of spices under coals that were under, and you place garments, and you place that under garments that are hanging on a peg, so that you can cause them to be, give them odor, nice fragrance. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to give. You're allowed to put perfume on yourself or cologne on yourself, just from that perspective. You're not allowed to give a nice scent to your garments on Shabbos itself. That's called fixing the garment. So this brisa says that you cannot start the process on Erev. I'm sorry, you're allowed to start the process on Erev Shabbos. And so that the umisgami v'holchim kol yom kulo, and the garments get the benefit of the good smell, the good aroma the whole day. V'manichim gafris tachas akelim. You can also place sulfur on coals under vessels, under silver vessels, that some of the sulfur will cause the will improve the color of the kelim. Be'erev Shabbos simchashecha, sort of at night. Close to nightfall, umisgafim v'holchim, and then again, it kol Shabbos kulo, and the sulfur, it gets sulfured, it gets from the, it gets the benefit of the sulfur the whole Shabbos. Manichim kilor, and you can put this kind of salve al gava eye on your eye. The ispalonis, and this bandage, I'll give you maka on this wound. On again, the misrapes v'olechas koyim kulo. You do it on Friday close to Shabbos, and you're healing. It's causing it to heal from the salve, from the whatever the medication the whole day. I don't think we're talking simply about it just putting a bandage. I think we're talking about actually some kind of cream that you're putting on, and it heals you the whole day. Aval ein nostim chitim l'socha richaim shamayim. But you're not allowed to place wheat in a watermill on Shabbos, I'm sorry, on Friday, close to Shabbos, unless the wheat will be, that you'll grind the wheat before Shabbos is entering. So the Gemara asks, why is this so? My time, what's the reason that we treat the wheat grinding any different? Because it give the windmill gives off a sound, and you can hear it, and that's Zilzil Shabbos. Okay, the Ramah, by the way, paskins like this, the Ramah rules like this. That's why, for example, can you leave on, let's say, I don't get into so much halacha l'maisa, but the issue would be, you know, can you leave on a TV before Shabbos, so it's making sound on Shabbos, like, you know, you leave your TV on before Shabbos. It could be like a Mara Sinai issue, when people think you turned it on Shabbos, but leaving something on so that makes a lot of noise, so that might be an issue here of Hashma's call, which is based on this issue of the wheat, placing the wheat inside the mill. All right, that's the distinction that's made. Halacha lamaisa between starting a process before Shabbos with other things that are permitted, but not with anything that will cause noise that will be noisy on Shabbos itself. We're going to see that's not the only opinion why this is forbidden. But it seems the Ramah at least, who holds based on this reason. So we should be strict according to this reason. So Amar Le'av Yosef, Yosef says, V'leima mishum shvisas kelim, titanya v'chol asher marti alechem tishmeru, l'rabba shvisas kelim. Now maybe the reason why it's forbidden to place the wheat inside the mill right before Shabbos, it's nothing to do with zilzul, desecration of Shabbos, it makes noise on Shabbos. It's because of shvisas kelim. You're supposed to cause your kelim to rest. Ela Marav Yosef, okay, mishum shvisas kelim. So, it's because of shvisas kelim. But now, of course, what does Gemara have to do? If indeed we're saying that the windmill is forbidden because of shvisas kelim, because you have to have your kelim rest on Shabbos, your machines to rest on Shabbos. What about all these other cases that are permitted? So the Gemara asks, v'hasha d'amart lebeis hillel ish lahu shvisas kelim d'oraisa gafris u'mugmar mai tamasharu. So now, if you're going to say that this price is according to Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel also holds that shvisas kelim is forbidden, so why are these other things permitted? Why are you allowed to place the clothes underneath sulfur? Sorry, the clothes underneath spices before Shabbos. Why are you allowed to place your silver kalim, your silver vessels, underneath sulfur before Shabbos? If that's shvisas kalim. So the Gemara says mishum de lo kavid maisa, because the kli is not really doing anything. You basically there's just a fragrance, but it's not really doing anything, right? You set up the situation beforehand, and it's just providing an aroma. Providing an aroma is not considered a mas, it's not considered an action. It's on the ground. The sulfur or the spices are on the ground, and it produces a certain scent or it causes, you know, causes whatever the kalim to change color a bit. So that's not a maisis, that's why that's permitted, even according to Beis Hillel. Even if you hold the Shvisas Kelim, it's forbidden. So now Gemara asks, well, what about Urim Shel Pishtun, Mai Tamashara? What about...
Rabbi, excuse me, yeah. but as opposed to the mill, where the mill is doing something.
Correct, yes. Because the mill, right, that's right, correct. Because the mill is doing something, but these things are not doing anything. The mill is grinding on Shabbos, correct. Sorry if I wasn't clear about that. Unim shel pishtag. So what about these bundles of flax? My time is shar. Why is that permitted? Mishum lo kavin maisa u'meinach naichi. The same thing. The oven's not doing anything. You're just putting the bundles of flax, and the fire inside of it is doing the libun. It's causing the it's causing the flax to be processed. Mitzudas chayav ofid dog. Yeah, but what about traps? Beis Hillel allows you in our Mishnah to place traps on Friday. That's to cover ma'aser. That's doing a ma'aser. My tamashara. Why is that permitted? Asa nami belechi v'kukri. We're talking about hooks and different nets. Where basically it's not doing anything. Where let's say there's a hook and the fish just goes into the hook and it gets stuck on the hook, or the fish or whatever the animal just gets caught in the trap, but the trap doesn't move and nothing. It doesn't do a mice either. Low covered mice. We're talking about certain types of traps that they don't do any action either. They don't move from their place. So that's obviously another way of understanding all of these situations. Yeah, but now we're going to say Rav Oshai is in the Mir Vasi. So who's the author of the Braisa who forbids placing the wheat in the water mill because of Shvisas Kalim? So this he says it's Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. So the Beis Shammai ben kavin ma'isa ben de lo kavin ma'isa. So this is another opinion. Right, we just got we got through saying that maybe the Braisa that we have a Mishnah, which is the debate between Ben Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then we have our Braisa, and the Braisa seems to say everything's forbidden except for the water mill. So initially we want to say that the water mill is an issue because of Hashmas Kol, because it makes a noise on Shabbos, and that's why it's forbidden. And then we want to say, no, maybe the all these things, really, Beis Hillel also holds that Shvisas Kalim is also forbidden on Shabbos. Your Kalim also have to rest, as it were, on Shabbos. But it's only a problem if it engages in an action. And now we have Rav Asi who wants to say, no, maybe Shvisas Kalim is only Beis Shammai's position and not Beis Hillel. So what that would mean is, Le Beis Shammai ben kavid ma'isa min de lo kavid ma'isa. Whether you do a ma'isa or not, it's usur, it's forbidden. And Le Beis Hillel, afal gav de kavid ma'isa shari. Maybe he wants to say the debate is in both extremes. Whether the thing that you set up does an action, whether it doesn't do an action, it doesn't make a difference. Beis Shammai will always say Shvisas Kalim is forbidden, and Beis Hillel will also always say Shvisas Kalim is permitted. Now, Bahashid Amar to the Beis Shammai, Afagad Luka Ovin Maisa Usur. If you hold that according to Beis Shammai, that even if you didn't do a Maisa, you didn't do an action, it's forbidden. Ihachi, if so, Mugmar Begafri is my time as Sharu, Beis Shammai. So then why, I guess we want to say that the Braisa can also go like Beis Shammai. So why would Beis Shammai say that the incense or the sulfur would be permitted if Beis Shammai says Shvisas Kalim? He says Hasa Manacha Ara, because there we're talking about where the sulfur and the incense are on the ground and not in a kli. It's only an issue if the kli, I guess normally speaking, I haven't done this lately or ever. Normally speaking, if you place sulfur, I guess, in a you normally place the sulfur, the incense, in a kli, in a utensil, and then you place the clothing or the silver, you hang that on top of it. So here, if you place it on the ground, so that is apparently that's not the way that you typically do that, and therefore it would be permitted, even according to Beis Shammai. And then the Gemara asks, "Is what about gigis, a barrel that?" That barley soaks there more than 8 days, right? And so what are you supposed to do there? Because obviously it's doing malach on Shabbos. Also vinair, and also a candle where you have a kli that has oil and a wick, right? We know that even according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to light a candle that's functioning on Shabbos, right? You light the candle, you light the oil lamp before Shabbos, and it's functioning on Shabbos. How is that permitted, right? V'cheid, and what about a pot that you put on Erev Shabbos on the stovetop and the food continues to get better on Shabbos? It was shpud, and a spit that you place in an oven on Erev Shabbos and the meat's on it, continues to get roasted on Shabbos. My time is Sharu. For what reason does Beis Shammai, why does he permit these things? The Gemara assumes that Beis Shammai does permit these things. And he says, Demafke lehu afkure, because he certainly renders these things hefker. He renders these things ownerless because he doesn't want to violate Shvisas Kalim. In other words, I guess according to Beis Shammai, there are certain necessities on Shabbos. There are certain things that would be difficult to be without Shabbos. In other words, you want to have hot food on Shabbos. You want to have light on Friday night. So with respect to all those things, what is Beis Shavuot going to do if you can't continue doing the melacha on Shabbos? So what is he forced to say? That once he sets up this mechanism, and what does he do? He renders these kelim ownerless, and therefore they're no longer considered his kelim, and that's how he gets around this prohibition. It's not a great solution, but it's the only way you can get around it. So now the Gemara clarifies. Man tana laha the tana rabbanu l'samala isha k'deir bas asosius turmisin v'taniach l'tzocha tana be'erev Shabbos im chasheicha im nasdan l'motzei Shabbos sur b'chdei shi'asu. Who's the author who says the brisa that says what? A woman cannot fill a pot with these types of beans that require a lot of cooking and leave the pot of food inside an oven on Erev Shabbos close to dark. But if you did it, then even Saturday night, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the food until the time it takes to cook them after Shabbos. And similarly, a baker cannot fill a barrel of water and leave it inside the oven on Erev Shabbos, close to dark. And if he did this, on Saturday night it becomes forbidden, again, with the time it takes to do this. Who's the author? Let's say this is Beis Shammai's position, because this would be a violation of Shvisas Kelim, because you're not resting your Kelim, as it were. No, maybe even Beis Hillel would say this is forbidden. Even Beis Hillel holds that Shvisas Kelim is permitted. What's the concern? The concern is that we're afraid that you're going to stoke the coals. You're going to want to turn over the coals because you're going to want to cook it faster, and then you're going to violate a Torah prohibition. Ihachi asked the Gemara, "Mugmar v'gafis namaligzar." So, by the way, that's the reason, by the way, why we use a blech. If you put on food, let's say that's not fully cooked, we're going to see the details that's in the Amud a little bit later. But that's the reason, that's the concern, right? You put on a food that is not fully cooked on the stovetop Friday right before Shabbos, and you want to eat the food Friday night. So we're concerned that you're going to change the temperature. It's based on this Gemara about stoking the coals. Again, according to Beis Hillel, it's not a violation in Shvisas Kelim. You're allowed for your stovetop to function on Shabbos. We don't hold that Shvisas Kelim is forbidden. It's a gzeira that we're concerned you might change the temperature. So we're going to see the details of this gzeira. As we go along in the Gemara in the daf today. But the Gemara asks, "Ihachi mugmar v'gavris nami ligzar." So why is Beis Hillel only concerned about stoking the coals for, let's say, a pot of food? Why aren't we concerned that you might stoke the coals when you're letting your clothing being given a fragrance by the incense, or your kli, your vessel being given a sulfur by the sulfur? So the Gemara says, "Hasam lo machde lahu." There's no concern you're going to stoke the coals in the case of the incense or the sulfur. The imachti solik bahu kutra v'kashi lahu. If you stoke the coals, the smoke will rise from the coals to the clothing and the silver utensils and will dirty them, I guess, with the ashes. So in other words, it won't do good for your kelim if you do stoke the coals. So we're not concerned you're going to do that. The Gemara adds, unim shel pishan nami ligzar. What about the flax, the bundles of flax? Are we concerned that you're going to stoke the coals? Hasam came in the kashi lahu zika lomagal lahu. There's no concern you're going to stoke the coals because if you open the oven, the wind that will enter into the oven will damage the bundles of flax. So we're not concerned you're going to open the oven and stoke the coals. The Gemara says semeliore leagues. Or what about when you put wool into a pot? I guess to work the wool. Also, why should you make a gzeira also to forbid it? Amashmuel biyore akura. We're talking about a pot that has been removed from the fire, and there's hot water in it, and it's working the wool, but since it's not on the fire itself, so there are no coals under it, so we're not concerned you're going to stoke any coals. V'nichu shema megispo, aren't we concerned that you might stir the pot? Because by stirring it, you're going to violate the prohibition of tzviya, causing it to color. So the Gemara says, be'akura v'tucha, we're talking about a case where you remove the pot from the fire and you place the cover on it and you put like the lid you put with tachvatit, you put, what is it, cement or lot, not cement, but like, was it like lime or something on it? So you close it, so we're not concerned that because it's closed, you're going to remember, oh yeah, it's closed. Why is it closed? That I'm going to remember that it's Shabbos, I'm not allowed to stir it. That's what's called, you're creating a heker. You're doing something different to make you remember that I shouldn't do this. That's also like when we put a blech over the stovetop, and let's say you have a pot of food that's not fully cooked, and you put it on the fire Friday night, and the stovetop, you put a blech over it. Why? Because the blech is a heker. It's also going to remind you, oh yeah, why I have the blech here? Because I shouldn't change the temperature. The Gemara learns other halachos, that according to Beis Hillel, that you're not allowed to leave the oven a pot. You know, this halacha about leaving in the oven a pot of food with beans because you might stir the coals. So now the Gemara says, "V'hashad amar gezeira sheva yachte b'cholim," that the decree is that you might stir the coals. Hay kedera chaisa sharlanuche v'shavzim im chashecha bitanura. Let's say you have raw meat that's not cooked at all. You would be allowed to leave it in the oven. Why? My taima came into lochazi lo ursa asuchi mesach dai tibidei. Let's say you have raw meat, right? So we're not, and it's only going to become cooked on Shabbos day. In other words, you need the whole night for it to be cooked. So there, we're not concerned that you might change the temperature, that you might stoke the coals. Why? Because you're not planning on eating it Friday night. The only concern of, this Gemara is like very halacha lamaisa. The only concern of changing the temperature is a situation when you're planning on eating it on Friday night. So like, you know, you're coming home from shul. Oh, I want to eat the food. It's not ready yet. The fire is uneven. Let me stoke the coals. Let me change the temperature. Because in those days, obviously, the fire wasn't necessarily even, you know, the pot wasn't necessarily an even distribution of fire, but now it's obviously different now. But the concern would be, I want to hurry up. I want to have my food Friday night. However, if you're waiting till Shabbos morning, you're not going to forget to stir the coals. You're not planning on having Friday night anyway. You let it cook overnight. So Kidra Chaisa is technically forbidden. What?
What if your concern is when you come home, not that you're going to eat it, but that you didn't have to leave it on hot enough and it won't be hot enough for Shabbos? So they say, I should have made it hot.
You mean for Shabbos day, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like personal words.
Yeah.
I have to do something. It's like, you know, I'm going to turn it up because at this temperature, it's not going to be ready.
Yeah.
It's going to be rare.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess I don't, as far as I know, that's not a gezeira. Obviously, it depends on likelihood. This is like a question of, like, you have like a raw piece of meat in your cholent. Are you allowed to leave it? Are you allowed to leave, you know, raw cholent, you know, if you have a raw piece of meat before Shabbos? So some people allow you, it seems, according to the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, it may be allowed because you're not going to eat the cholent until Shabbos day because you have a raw piece of meat in there. But you're right. I guess theoretically we could be concerned, but I guess that's not a significant enough of a concern to make the gezeira, right? Whenever you're making a gezeira, so there's always a balance of, you know, the imposition, the likelihood of a problem, what's the consequence. Apparently this wasn't, I hear what you're saying. It's like apparently that wasn't as big of a concern. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara continued, so we're not concerned that you're going to stoke the coals. Ubashil shapir dami. But let's say it's fully cooked. That's also okay, because we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals. Therefore, technically speaking, if you make your food on Erev Shabbos, and your food is fully cooked on Erev Shabbos, you can leave it directly on the stovetop without a blech. We're strict a little bit because just in case, let's say you, for a different reason, because it's called hachzara, because let's say you take the pot of food off and you want to put it back, you might need the blech that helps it. We'll learn about that in a future daf. But on a very technical level, we're talking about, this is called the Isser of Shehiya, the prohibition of leaving food on Erev Shabbos. And again, you're not doing an action on Shabbos itself, but we're concerned that you might do a malach on Shabbos. So what we're saying here is that if it's a situation where you're not going to eat it on Friday night, or it's fully cooked, so there we're not concerned. But bishul v'lo bishul asir. But if it's like partially cooked, then it is forbidden. V'shada be garmachai. If you threw on the pot of food that was that like a piece of meat that wasn't. One limb of meat that wasn't cooked at all, shapir dami, that's okay. Why? Because once you put a piece of raw meat into the pot, then you're basically demonstrating that you don't want to eat the food Friday night and you're not going to eat until Shabbos morning. The Gemara now adds, but Hashad Amar Mar Kol Midi Dekashi Leizika Lo Megalalei. Now that we say that anything that the wind will cause damage, we're not concerned that you're going to open up the oven in order to stoke the coals. Hai Bistra De Gadja Visharik Shapir Dami. Let's say you have the meat of a kid, not a child, of a goat, okay? And you smear it, the cover of the oven, with teat, with, I guess, lime. So you seal it, Shapir Dami. So here you have two different reasons why we're not concerned that you might stoke the coals. Number one is that the meat, that if you open up the oven, then the air will ruin the meat, will harm the meat, so we're not concerned. And secondly, that by closing the oven with sort of lining it with teat, with lime, so you can remember that it's forbidden to stoke the coals. So it seems here that at least, that you need two reasons. That's what it seems like. But the meat of a big ram, lo sharik, and you didn't cement it, you didn't put the lime around the cover of the oven, also, then you can't do that, because you don't have either reason. Because the wind doesn't harm the meat of a big ram, and secondly, because you can easily remove the cover, and you're not gonna remember that you're not allowed to stoke the coals. But what if it only has one of the two reasons, right? What if it's God Yevelo Sharik? Let's say it's the kid, it's the meat of a baby goat, but what? You didn't put the lime around the cover. So you only have one of the reasons. Or Barcho Shriek, or the reverse. It's a big ram, but you did put the lime around. Ravashi Shari, Rabbi Difti Aser. So it's a machlokas. If you only have one of the two reasons, whether that's enough of a reason for us not to have this gzeira, is there not enough of a concern that you're going to stoke the coals? Well, Ravashi the Shari, quite Ravashi who permits it. But ain't solely in Basar Ella Kadeshi Tzolvel Yom. What does Ravashi do with the Mishnah that says, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, that you cannot roast meat or onions or an egg unless there's time for the meat to be roasted while it's still daytime? And this would seem to indicate that this halacha would be with all types of meat. So Hasam de Barcha Velo Sharik. No, he said maybe the Mishnah is talking about only meat of a ram, and when there was no cover on the oven. But maybe if it was talking about the meat of a little goat, so then that's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Ikadamri, there's others who understood this teaching another way. The Gadya Ben Sharik Ben Lo Sharik Shapir Dami, that a baby goat, whether it's covered or not, everyone agrees that's sufficient. That once it's a little goat, and you know that if you open the oven, then that will ruin the taste, then that will harm the meat. So then, we're not concerned you're going to open the oven and soak the coals. Tibar chanami visharik shapir dami. Also, if you're dealing with a big ram and it's put and you put lime around the cover, also it's also good. In other words, according to the second version, as long as you have one reason, everyone agrees, no gezeirah, no decree. Ki pligi, what's the argument? Tibar chavelo sharik. Let's assume you don't have either reason. It's a big ram and it wasn't, you didn't, you know, and the oven wasn't sealed. Ravashi Shar, Ravashi still permits it. Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti Aser, and Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti forbids it. Ravashi did the Shar, and Ravashi who permits it. What do you do with the Mishnah tomorrow's daf? Ain't Solim Basar Batzel Beitzel Kedeshi Tzolim Bod Yom. Doesn't the Mishnah say that you can't roast meat, onions, or an egg unless it's roasted while it's still day? So where it says, no, Hasan Bibisra Agumre. So there it's talking about the meat that is placed on coals that are on the ground but not in an oven. Because if it's just coals on the ground, then it's easy to stoke the coals because there's no covering at all. But if it's in an oven and there's a covering, even if the covering is not sealed, that is sufficient by an oven, that's not the way to stoke the coals. Why? Because if you stoke the coals in an oven, the meat will get dirty from the ashes. So he's saying that Mishnah is only talking about where the coals are on the ground, but not in an oven. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hai Kra Chaya, this pumpkin that's not cooked, Shapir Dami, you can put it close to dark so it's roasted on Shabbos, came in the Kashi Lezika. Kibisra de Gadidami. Because a pumpkin is similar to a little kid, a goat. Because if you put the pumpkin in the oven, so then, and you open up the oven, it will damage, it will be harmful for the pumpkin. So we're not concerned, you're going to open it up and stoke the coals. Okay. Beishame Omrim, Ein Mochrim. Beishame says, we do not sell to a non-Jew, or we don't load up his donkey, or we don't put things on his shoulder unless we are convinced that he can leave and reach his destination before nightfall. Beis Hillel allows you to do that. So the Gemara brings a brisa that relates to this very topic. Tadu Rabbanu, our rabbis teach. So Beishame says that you can't sell something to a non-Jew, you can't lend him something, you can't let him borrow something, you can't lend him something, you can't give him something with a gift, unless he would reach his house with that object while it's still day. Because if the non-Jew takes out the object on Shabbos, he's being taken out from one Rishus to another Rishus, and he's walking in Rishus Arabim on Shabbos. And the people who see this will make a mistake, and they will think that he's doing this as an agent of the Jew. They're going to think that a Jew told the non-Jew to carry this object on his behalf, and that's a Mira Lanachri, and that is forbidden. You're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos unless there's some exception. There's no exception here. So we're concerned that people are going to think that you told the non-Jew to do work for you, to carry for you on Shabbos. Basil Omri and Basil argue, and they say, he says, you don't have to get to your house, the non-Jew's get to your house, but it's sufficient if there's enough time for him to reach the house that is nearest to the wall in his hometown, if he lives in another town. But since he could leave the object there, it is recognizable that which he is continuing to his with the object to, further to his house is not because the Jew gave him the object. Rabbi Akiva says that Kadesh Sheyetzei be Pesach Beso. Rabbi Akiva says the heter is as long as enough time to leave the house of the Jew. So we got three different opinions. Do you have to have enough time to reach your house? Do you have to have enough time to reach the city, one house in the house in the city that the non-Jew is going to? Or Rabbi Akiva said you just have to leave the Jew's house. So it seems from Rabbi Akiva's opinion that he argues on Beis Hillel, but the Brisa says that's not the case. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, hein di Rabbi Akiva, hein di Rabbi Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva is really the same as Beis Hillel. Lo ba Rabbi Akiva ela lefaris di Rabbi Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva is only explaining Beis Hillel. In other words, they argued what the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva are arguing in the Brisa, what is the opinion of Beis Hillel. According to the Tanakhama, they hold that Beis Hillel says that you have to reach the house that is nearest to the wall of the city. And according to Rabbi Akiva, they hold, no, you have to leave the house, they open the house of the Jew while it's still daytime. Okay, we will stop here. Okay, we're good?
Rabbi.